Wrestling with siblings, what's
yeah,
up?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah. In the state.
Yeah, yeah.
Life is a fight, so I gotta get right.
Right.
Can't have my back on the ropes.
Never.
This for my sister and bro. I swear that we'll make it, that's all that we hope. Like a stone cold. Get hit with a son of, that's all that she wrote. The world that we live in has made me cutthroat. I started rapping about life just to cope. Now I spit fire like Ricky Steamboat. Straight from the bottom, got so much to gain. I had to grind just to build on my name. People call me champ, I'm feeling like Dwayne. I let it smack down, here comes the pain.
Here comes the pain.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Wrestling with Siblings. I'm your host, Araceli, and this is my co-host, Armando.
Hi, guys. I'm Armando, and welcome to Wrestling with Siblings.
All right, let's get started with SmackDown. All right, the very first match of the night was Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus versus Karrion Kross versus Xavier Woods versus LA Knight. The winner of this match will become the number one contender for Gunther's Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania. Huge, huge stakes.
Huge stakes for all these guys. They're all going to go out there and give it their best. See who's going to face Gunther. And let's see who ends up facing him at the end of this match.
Xavier Woods wastes absolutely no time. He knows what's at stake and he immediately goes after everybody. And the very first thing that everybody does is like, you know what? We are all have to go against each other. If we don't take each other out, there's going to be no possibilities. And Sheamus, right off the bat, he realized, you know what? I have to eliminate all the threats in order for me to be able to advance in this match.
Yeah, and not only that, Drew McIntyre as well, too. He knows this is a great opportunity for him to get into the Intercontinental Championship, to get into the title picture again, something that he's been wanting. But again, you know, he has his best friend by his side, and his best friend is also hungry for that same opportunity. And I think that's a little distraction, and I think, you know, that might end up costing him, you know, because he might be too distracted. And Sheamus, yeah, they might work together, which I think they did work together, and throughout this match, and they did great. But when it came down to having the pin, I mean, at the end of the day, you're both going for the gold.
Karrion Kross went right after the biggest threat. He went right after McIntyre. Why? He knew if I can keep McIntyre down long enough for me to be able to capitalize on any one of these opponents, I've immediately punched my way into the Intercontinental Championship match at WrestleMania. And that's exactly how he started. Yes, of course, he had Scarlett by his side, and I feel like people underestimate Scarlett. They don't really know what she has under her sleeve at all times. And she is very, very... This is what makes Karrion Kross a very, very dangerous competitor.
Yeah, definitely another one that you got to keep your eye on. Especially because she's got Scarlett. He's got Scarlett on his side. And for me, my personal favorite was going to be Drew McIntyre on this match. I think it's time for him to get into the title picture. If anybody could, dethrone Gunther is going to be this guy. He's hungry after what he did with Roman Reigns a couple weeks ago at pay-per-view in the United Kingdom. He was amazing. I think it's time for him to go for that title picture. But again, he has to get rid of Sheamus. As long as Sheamus is there, I think it might cost him, or he might just get distracted as well.
And LA Knight, I think he's also one of the other ones that really went all out. You were able to see a different side of him. He was focused. He was determined. He knew what he had to do to get to the end of that match. But unfortunately, every single man in this match came up short except for McIntyre and Sheamus. These two men, they capitalized on their opportunity. They got the pin at the exact same time, leading to a controversy. So, personally, I would just make it a triple threat. I don't understand why we have to see this match again. Not the Fatal 5-Way, but we have to see Sheamus versus McIntyre next week at SmackDown to determine who's going to face Gunther.
Yeah.
If I were WWE or if I were Adam Pearce, I would just make it a triple threat. I think that would be a fantastic match.
Make it more interesting. Throw that extra mix in there. I agree with you 100%. I think we discussed it. They should just keep it as a triple threat. Make it interesting at WrestleMania. You know, I think if anyone could dethrone this guy, it's, like I said, it's going to be one of these two. Me personally, I like Drew McIntyre. But again, you can't go wrong with Sheamus. Sheamus is also hungry. I think he's had one hell of a year with the Brawling Brutes. I think we kind of, not underestimated, but he was there because he kept the consistency throughout the entire year. And either one that could dethrone Gunther, you know, so they just keep it a triple threat.
Whoever it is, whether it is both of them or just one of them that goes on to face Gunther at WrestleMania, very, very careful, because keep in mind, he has Imperium by his side, and they're going to do anything to make sure he retains that Intercontinental Championship.
Hey, well, Sheamus and Drew McIntyre, they got the Brawling Brutes as well, too. I think they're still friends. It's just a, you know, what they say, conflict, matter of interest. You know, who wants it more, you know? And I think if Sheamus goes on to the next round and defeats Drew McIntyre. I don't think Drew McIntyre is going to be mad. I think he's going to be happy, and vice versa with Sheamus. So I think they're just hungry, and I think it's just a competitive that's getting to their heads.
All right, let's move on to the very next match. And it wasn't even a match. It was a segment. We finally found out who the very first inductee to the 2023 Hall of Fame will be. And it is none other than the legend himself, Mr. 619, Rey Mysterio.
Well deserved by Rey Mysterio. I think he's had a legendary career. One of the top athletes in the business. And, you know, he's proven the odds. He's always had the odds stacked against him, and he's proved that he climbed the mountain and, you know, the ultimate underdog, you know, and I think his story is unbelievable, how he came up and now how he's all the way at the top of the mountain, and well deserved by Rey Mysterio. And we'll see who gets to induct him. Let us know who's going to induct him. We're curious to see who you guys think is going to induct
him. For a guy his size, he has faced some of the biggest competitors twice his size, and he has become one of the best competitors in the WWE. And of course, he comes out and he's going to address and obviously thank the WWE Universe. And none other than Dominic shows up with the Judgment Day, and he is like, I am not happy about you being inducted. You should be inducted into the Deadbeat Dad Hall of Fame. Like, really? Seriously? You know damn well you hold the Mysterio name, and you probably wouldn't be in the situation that you are in if it wasn't for that man right there. So he's obviously not happy, and he's like, you missed soccer games, you missed birthdays. He's ashamed to be his son, is basically what he says.
I mean, I don't know. I think Dominic is letting this whole situation get to his head. You know, I think he's disrespecting his father, and it shouldn't be that way. And he should hold more respect to him because his dad is having a legendary career. I mean, I think if it would have been for Rey Mysterio, probably Dominic wouldn't have been where he's at. And I mean, he's got really, really big shoes to fill. Can he do it? Yes. I think it's just a matter of him, you know, putting in more time. And I think him being in the Judgment Day is going to help his career elevate to the next level. But, you know, we'll see what Dominic ends up doing with Rey.
All right. And then, right as this is happening, Legado del Fantasma comes out and they are like, you know what, you should show some respect to your father because he is a legend. And all of a sudden, Legado del Fantasma has Rey Mysterio's spec, including Zelina Vega. She comes out and she is 100% ready to throw some hands. And this altercation kind of leads to the Judgment Day versus Legado del Fantasma.
Yeah, and I think Legado del Fantasma is doing the right thing. I think Santos Escobar has really high respect for Rey Mysterio. I mean, he grew up watching Rey Mysterio and Lucha Libre and everything down in Mexico. And he holds a lot of respect for the mask as well, too. And, you know, I think he's doing the right thing. And he went out there and defended Rey Mysterio.
I think if there's a team, now I don't want to say that can take down the Judgment Day, but that can match up to the level of the Judgment Day, I think it's Legado del Fantasma. And if they have Rey by their corner, I think they're going to be able to do big, big things. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is the team that takes them down finally. Do they have a big shot? Yes, 100% they do. I think this is the closest we've gotten to anybody ever taking down the Judgment Day.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think Legado del Fantasma has that potential to do it. They got the numbers gain. You know, you got Zelina on one corner, you got Rhea on the other one. So that kind of evens out the odds. You know, Zelina could keep Rhea distracted, and the boys could do the rest with the rest of the Judgment Day. You know, again, we'll see. I think just the Judgment Day is, I mean, they had so many matches together already, and they were oiled. They're like a well-oiled machine, you know, and they know what they're doing. They'll do whatever it takes to win, and I think that's the difference, and that was the difference today in this match as well, too.
Rey Mysterio finally has backup. Not that he didn't before. He had Edge and Bad Phoenix, but now he's adding Legado del Fantasma. So if I were the Judgment Day, I'd be very, very careful because I can guarantee you that at Mania, we're more than likely going to see Dom Rey. That's pretty much a given. But you cannot underestimate Legado del Fantasma being in Rey's corner, and you cannot underestimate the Judgment Day. Now keep in mind, the Judgment Day basically already has matches set for their Mania match. So does that mean they will be ringside for Dominic? Who knows? We don't even know if this match is confirmed, but that's the way it looks like it's going to be going.
I think regardless of who has a match, I think they're all going to be in each other's corner. And that's what makes this team dangerous. You don't know who's going to be out there. And whoever's out there, they do such a good job of doing the numbers game and distracting the ref. And the other one comes in and gets that lethal blow or that lethal finish move. And you just get distracted. So, you know, regardless of who has the matches, they're all going to be in each other's corner. That's a guarantee. Even for the Rhea match. You know, she's facing Charlotte. Don't be surprised if Judgment Day is out there in Rhea Ripley's corner. So we'll see how that plays out as well.
Zelina Vega, you got to pull through for that Rey match. You got to stay on top of Rhea. You got to make sure she doesn't get involved in whatever the WrestleMania match is for Legado del Fantasma or Rey Mysterio. All right, let's move on to the Viking Raiders versus Strowman and Ricochet. Again, this is one of the newer teams that we get to see, Strowman and Ricochet. The oddest teams are the ones that work the best. It's funny how that works. But I'm starting to really like this team. I think they're showing how great they can actually work together. They have two completely different styles, but it evens out. It balances out because you have your powerhouse and you have somebody like Ricochet who is a high flyer who uses his style and speed to his advantage.
That's what I was going to say. It's the perfect balance. You got speed and power on one corner. And I think that's very, very crucial because, you know, Ricochet could go in and do the work. And Braun Strowman comes in and he just finishes it off. But again, I think this, if they were going to prove themselves as a tag team, this was the team to do it against, the Viking Raiders. I mean, the Viking Raiders, me personally, they're one of my favorites. I think they're a well-rounded team. I think they just got in unlucky in certain situations for the title opportunity. And I think they rebranded themselves. And this is a really, really hard team competitor. And they proved it tonight. What did they do tonight? They took out Braun Strowman. They took the biggest competitor out together as a team, as a unit. And from there, they were able to capitalize on Ricochet. That's why the Viking Raiders are so dangerous and so good at what they do. This is a tag team that you also got to keep an eye on. And I think they're slowly going to get into the title picture.
I 100% agree with you on that one. And keep in mind, they also have Sarah Rowe in their corner. That adds another asset to their team. And I agree with everything you said. I think this team is probably one of the best welded teams you have in the WWE right now. They understand each other super, super well. And I think one of the things that they understood is how to use power to their advantage and when to use that in that scenario. They know when to, and I don't want to say that they're high flyers, but they know when to change. They adapt based on their competitors, and that is the Viking Raiders' biggest advantage, that they learned not only how to survive, but they learned how to adapt to each and every single one of their matches and every single one of their competitors.
I agree. I mean, look at what Ivar. He jumps over from the top rope, but like if he was like a cruiserweight, you know, if he was Ricochet. And I mean, that's very, very impressive for this team. I think this team has all the potential to be one of the greats, and I think they're slowly getting there. I mean, even down from NXT when they would face Street Profits. I mean, they had one of the greatest matches down in NXT, and this tag team is very, very dangerous. And again, week by week, they're improving, and I think Sarah Rowe was the missing piece that they needed to take her to the next level, and I think she's doing a great job leading this team as well.
I agree. I think she keeps them grounded. I think she keeps them together, and it's going to be interesting to see where they go from here. Let's move on to the SmackDown Women's Champion, Charlotte Flair, who goes up against Shotzi in a non-title match, but I think this is the biggest opportunity for Shotzi right now. This is her moment to prove what she is capable of. And if she wants a title shot opportunity, I'm not saying at Mania, but in the near future, if she wants a title shot opportunity, that's the woman you want to be. That's the woman that you got to prove yourself against to get to the place where you want to be.
I definitely agree with you on that, you know, and if you want to create yourself an opportunity and you want to make a name for yourself, you got to do it against someone like Charlotte Flair. You know, Charlotte Flair is giving you that opportunity, and what better way to do it than against her? And again, Charlotte Flair was trying to make a statement. You know, she's like, you know what, I need a tune-up match. I need to start getting ready for Rhea Ripley, and I need to make a statement. And what better way to do it with Shotzi? I mean, she is a really, really great competitor. And I think she really proved herself too. And I think Charlotte is Charlotte Flair. I mean, she did a really, really great victory against Shotzi. I think she picked and chose her spots. And, you know, she picked the perfect opportunity to do that figure eight.
I think experience really genuinely played the biggest factor in this match, because at one point we saw Shotzi started off strong and then Charlotte kind of capitalized and was kind of taking Shotzi at her own pace, and then we see Shotzi just flip it around with the Hurricanrana to Charlotte Flair, and then from there it kind of just changed to her advantage. And once Charlotte saw, you know what, she's confident now, she thinks she has me right where she wants me, bam, Charlotte hits her with the spear, and that's how she was able to pretty much put in the figure eight to get a victory over Shotzi.
And not only that, she also made a statement to Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley came out ringside and was pretty much watching that match as well too. So what does that do? That boosted Charlotte Flair's confidence and be like, you know what, Rhea Ripley, this is going to be you at Mania, so keep a close eye on it. And I think that was also a huge decisive factor of why Charlotte Flair got the win tonight.
100% agree with you on that one. And then we get to see, obviously, Rhea try to taunt Charlotte towards the end. And she's like, I will take this championship at WrestleMania. And this is when Charlotte's like, you won't. Because I will outwork and outperform any male or female in this roster. And you gotta give it to Charlotte. She's right. She works hard. She does everything she's supposed to do. That's why she is a 16-time, am I right? 16-time women's champion. If I were Rhea, I wouldn't go in as confident as she's going in. She's got a huge, huge, huge competitor going into WrestleMania. But also, Charlotte cannot get cocky. She cannot get confident and think that she's just going to easily beat Rhea Ripley, because she can't. Rhea Ripley is going to do everything in her power to get her hands on that SmackDown Women's Championship.
This is a different Rhea Ripley, obviously, than the one she faced a couple of WrestleManias ago. I think this is a more mature Rhea Ripley. She has grown so much in the ring and outside of the ring. I think she is prepared physically, mentally, and confident. I mean, look at the way she stamped up to Charlotte Flair and pretty much tells her it's not going to be an easy. And I think Rhea learned a lot from that first match that they had. You know, I think she took a lot from Charlotte Flair, and I think Charlotte Flair is going to struggle to beat Rhea Ripley. Do I think Rhea Ripley is going to win at WrestleMania? I think she's going to, not an upset, I think, but I think she might be, she's going to do what a lot of females can do, and that's beat Charlotte Flair at the biggest stage of them all.
If I'm being honest, I think that match is what shaped Rhea Ripley into the Rhea Ripley that is today.
Mm-hmm.
It took a while for Rhea to get there, but I think that match really clicked and changed something inside of Rhea Ripley, and now this is the Rhea Ripley that's coming for redemption. This is the Rhea Ripley that Charlotte Flair created back at WrestleMania 36.
Yeah, and she's going to come back and get you and want revenge, so we'll see what happens and how it all plays out at the end.
Yes, now on to our main event. What everybody has been asking themselves, Jay, why did you betray Sami Zayn? It looked like he was going to side with Sami Zayn for about 2 weeks or so, ever since the Elimination Chamber. And then all of a sudden, he just turned on Sami. And the reason why we saw this was, and he explains it, he's like, you know what, I had no choice. I've never had a choice. This is my brother. He's been my twin. He's my family. And Sami simply isn't. And that's the reason why he says he was able to betray Sami Zayn.
And I get where Jay's coming from. I totally get it. I mean, he is going to side on his family, but I do believe he did doubt it himself, and he did think about, like, you know what we're doing is not right. What we did to Sami isn't correct. So do I think that he kind of shifted over towards Sami and he was undecisive? Yes. Did he want to help Sami? 100%. But again, family is family, and you have to stick with them 100%. Did he do the right thing? I think he did the right thing, and I don't blame him. I don't blame him for sticking to with his brother and making the choice that he did, and that's betraying Sami.
Yeah, I agree. But I think where everything changed for Jay, I think he was going to be a part of Sami's team until Roman Reigns threatened Jay Uso.
Yep.
I mean, Jimmy Uso, I'm sorry. I think that's when Jay changed his opinion, and he was like, if I don't side with Jimmy and Roman, something bad is going to happen to Jimmy Uso. And I think that's where it clicked for him, and that's where everything changed. And he said, I basically have no choice. That was the game changer, I believe, personally, for Jimmy and Jay.
And I don't blame him. 100%, I don't blame him. Did he do the right thing? Yes, I think he did do it, because at the end of the day, he's following his blood and he has his brother's back. So I think he did. Good job, Jay. And, you know, I think a lot of the questions were answered.
And we get to see Sami Zayn finally come out, and he tries to go by himself against the Usos. You know that's a losing game. You cannot attack the Usos and expect to come out victorious. And so they start to beat up Sami Zayn, and then we finally get to see Cody Rhodes come out. And of course, he comes out to answer to them, and he's like, you know what, we should just fight. Let's just fight now. And he goes and he defends Sami Zayn.
Yeah, and I think Cody Rhodes is smart. You know, I think he's siding with Sami Zayn because he knows he could count on Sami Zayn. If anything were to go wrong against Roman Reigns and the Bloodline gets involved, he's got Sami there. But now the question is, are the Usos going to face Sami Zayn for the tag titles, and is Sami going to find a tag team partner? I think he is. I think it's going to be Kevin Owens. But here's the hard part for Sami. I think Sami has a lot a forgiveness to do, and I think he owes a huge apology to Kevin Owens, and it's going to be hard for him to convince him to to join his side. Do I think they're going to eventually come together? I think so, but I think Sami Zayn has a lot of work to do on Kevin Owens.
The thing with Kevin Owens is he's prideful. He's not just going to let it go to let it go. There's history there, but at the end of the day, Kevin Owens loves Sami Zayn. And yeah. I think he's going to do it. That's his brother. That is his wrestling brother right there. And at the end of the day, something inside is going to happen where Kevin Owens is going to be like, I have to go out and defend my brother. So if I were the Usos, I wouldn't get too confident with just going up against Sami Zayn.
Yeah, because if Kevin Owens ends up joining him and decides to be his tag partner and challenges the Usos for the tag titles, I think it's going to be one hell of a match. I think this match potentially has it to be the match of the night or maybe the match of WrestleMania. This match is probably going to steal the show between these four athletes because you're going to have the, you know, the Usos, which are their very, very great tag team. And again, now you have Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, which I think they're going to tear it out. They're hungry. They want to get their hands on the Bloodline. And what better way to do it than taking what they love so much, was those tag titles.
100% agree with you on that one. Before we let you guys go, stay tuned for our brand new company launch. Optimus Crew will be launching its newest item. We will not tell you what it is because it is still under wraps. But March 23rd, it will be available at OptimusCrew.com. Head over to the site to subscribe now and get all of the latest details when it comes to our newest launches. All right, that is all we have for you guys on this episode of Wrestling with Siblings. Remember to like, comment, share, and subscribe. Become a part of the siblings today. And for those of you that do not know what WWS stands for, I'm going to know what does WWS stand for.
Wrestling with Siblings. Thank you guys so much and see you guys next time.